Good afternoon. You're listening to the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. Thanks for listening in today. It's the last day of June, and it's kind of rainy and it's kind of overcast, but at least we have rain. We kind of went dry for quite a long time. And today's guest is Jan Westacott, and Jan has brought along just what I think is an outstanding collection of musics. And we're just going to start with the first four. Not consecutively, but make sure we get the first four in, and we're going to try to play as many as we can. And Jan's first song is one I have never heard before, and it's called Clair de Lune. Have I got that right?
Yeah.
And what is this song? And where did you first hear it? Why do you like it?
I heard it in 1976 for the first time. First time I'd heard it. I probably heard it before, but the first time I listened to it, I was riding in a car from Toronto to Gravenhurst, and I was sitting in the back seat of the car, and this song came on, and it was, the day was pretty much like today, a little bit overcast, a little bit of drizzle, and it was just such a relaxing, peaceful song. And to be honest, when I drive around in the country, which I do quite a bit, yesterday I was in Hanover and Walkerton and Alma and a bunch of places northeast of here. I find this is a terrific song to put on the radio when you're sort of in the country. Very peaceful, extremely relaxing, and a fabulous piece of music.
All right. Stay tuned in, folks. We're going to play this tune. We're back. My guest today is Jan Westacott. Just stay tuned right there. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Rory Box from Scotland. You are listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
That's pretty good, eh?
It is very good.
I wish I had an accident like that. That's so much fun. That was Rory Box. He was a young exchange student here with the Waterloo Junior Farmers.
And
we'll have those guys back in soon enough. My guest today, Jan Westcott. Thanks for showing up today, Jan. We've covered a few items already, and I just want to start out. We're going to, of course, get to know you a little better. And it's just a delight to hear. You're actually a local kid at one time. You're born and raised in Gad's Hill.
Yep.
My goodness. And what has life transpired since then?
Yes. Born on my mother's parents' family farm, according to my father, right on the kitchen table. I guess it was a little more laid back in those days. And spent a lot of time in this area. Was up in Alma yesterday visiting one of the farmers that supplies grain to our industry. So try to get over here as much as I can. Went out with a Kitchener girl for a long time. Met her at the Walper House Hotel. She was a waitress, looked after me really well, and had a lot of fun over here. Always worried that I'll run into the retired police chief. He'll see me and say, "I recognize you. I can't place it, but I know you were here causing trouble."
Where do you call home now?
I live in Oakville with my wife, and I have a couple of kids, but they're all grown up and moved out. And my wife's a Toronto girl, and Oakville was as far away, west as I could get her.
Hmm. Well, that makes sense. Often people born and raised in rural Ontario do always like to get back there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's farming Gad's Hill. Is anybody still up there that's called you a relative that are still farming, or are they all moved on to other things?
I don't think anybody's farming. My mother's sister, Pat, owned the Queen's Hotel in Port Elgin for about 50 years. And so I've relatives spread literally from Port Elgin all the way down here in Kitchener, southwestern Ontario. I have my cousin lives in Blythe. I have another one in Paisley. So sprinkled all over. I was in Mitchell the other day, and I was having a meeting with the Chief Administrative Officer of, I think it's West Perth at these days.
Mm.
And we were going through people we knew, and it was remarkable how many people that we knew in common. And I've had that experience quite a bit recently. One of my other cousins was the manager of the LCBO store in Tilsonburg, and I was in meeting with the mayor of Tilsonburg, and I happened to mention that, you know, my cousin Dean had been the manager there. He retired a few years ago, and there's all of a sudden there's this immediate stop in the conversation. He said, "Dean and Sue?" And I said, "Yeah, I think it's, yeah, his wife's name is Sue." He says, "Well, I teach Sunday school with them." So it's an incredibly small world.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And hobbies and things you like to do, what do you like to do if you're not busy at work?
I'm passionate about golf. I'm not very good, but I'm passionate about golf. I will do almost anything to play golf. I ski in the winter. I'm a runner. I'm a long-time, long-distance runner. Don't do marathons anymore. Done quite a few. Switched over a few years ago to doing triathlons. I'm not a terribly strong swimmer, so my whole strategy for the swim part of a triathlon is don't drown.
Yeah.
And just to keep in shape and have a little bit of fun.
Hmm. And as a family man, I guess you probably had your fair share of taking kids to hockey games and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is Canada.
That's true. And, you know, that's always been Canada's game. And, but boy, there's so much out there. There's soccer players and also many other sports that are going on too, and things for kids to do.
Yeah. My son played hockey. My daughter was more into horses. They both for many, many years, went to a ranch, just outside of London in Delaware, Circle R. To the point where they both sort of worked there as they grew up. Kate was a counselor. Mike was the short order cook in the kitchen for 2 years. Done all that sort of stuff.
Full typical Canadian life, so much on the go, and we're looking forward to our next part of our show. We're talking a little bit more about what you're doing now. But it's time to play music, because you got so much great music. We're just going to play just music till our eyes fall out here. I've got Van Morrison up here, Into the Mystic. And that Van Morrison, I can't imagine anybody has not heard of Van Morrison. But this song's pretty good. So tell us a little bit about what you know about Van Morrison, if you like, and why you like this song so much.
I'm a big Van Morrison fan. Pretty much everything he's done. I just like the lilt of the music. This is kind of an eerie, but still at the same time bouncy. You know, you talk to any two or three different people that like Van Morrison and listen to this, you'll get different interpretations of what it really is about and what it means. I just think it's a neat piece of music, and it sort of is uplifting every time I listen to it.
Okay. With that introduction, we'll play that, and we're back with my guest today on the Outro Show, Jan Westcott. Just stay tuned. We'll see you in a short bit.
Born before the wind, also younger than the sun. Yeah, the bonnie boat was won as we sail into the mystic. Hark now, hear the sailors cry. Smell the sea and feel the sky. Let your soul and spirit fly into the mystic. And when that foghorn blows, I will be coming home. Yeah, when the foghorn blows, I wanna hear it. I don't have to fear it, and I wanna rock your gypsy soul. Just like way back in the days of old. Yeah, magnificently we will fold into the mystic. Foghorn blows, you know I will be coming home. And when that foghorn whistle blows, I gotta hear it. I don't have to fear it, and I wanna rock your gypsy soul, just like way back in the day. Together we will fold into the mystic.
Hi, I'm Sandra Quayle from the Waterloo Junior Farmer 100th Anniversary Planning Committee. You are listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Waterloo Junior Farmers are celebrating 100 years on Saturday, August the 22nd at the Wellesley Community Center. Tickets will be available soon. Watch for more details at our website at http://waterloojf100.weebly.com. or join our Facebook page at Waterloo Junior Farmers Alumni. This event will be a banquet and dance with a display of memorabilia. Start collecting your old photos, clothing, newspaper clippings, trophies, etc. for our display. Help is needed on our committee. Please consider volunteering. Call Susan for details at 519-662-4327 or email susan.mills@rogers.com.
It's episode 124 of the Agriculture Show here on June the 30th, and today's guest is Jan Westcott. We've got a little bit of talking to Jan about what he's living and doing, come from Gad Hills, live in Oaksville. Just played a great song with Van Morrison. We were just talking behind while I was playing about how music changes, and Jan mentioned, you know, when rock and roll came out, that was scandalous, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes, scandalous. That's exactly the right word. And people that were listening to rock and roll, were dancing, jive, or doing things, were all going straight to hell, for sure.
Oh, it was outrageous. I can still remember watching the first appearance of the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show, 8 o'clock on a Sunday night. Quite amazing. Like, what are all those people doing? They're screaming and passing out.
Yeah, you've just dated us seriously, Jeff.
Well, that's okay, because we're all about the music, and we're all about our topic here today on the Agriculture Show, and I'd like to invite Jan to talk a little bit more about what he does, and we'll get back to some more music soon after that. But first of all, Jan, you very kindly sent out a lot of good, great information, very complete with what you do, and I'm not going to try to start there, but you're involved with the spirits industry. Tell us about that.
Yes, I represent one of the oldest businesses in Canada, and one of the businesses that's directly linked to agriculture. In fact, we consider ourselves connected at the hip, attached at the hip to the farm community. I represent companies and people that make products like Canadian whiskey, a little bit of vodka, some liqueurs and things like that, and that the industry really started in Ontario. And not much has changed in the 200 years that we've been doing this. You need to be close to high quality grain, and you need to be close to good water supply. And as I was saying to Jeff earlier, Waterloo was the favorite location of Sam Bronfman, the man that basically created Seagram and brands like Crown Royal. Loved the distillery in Waterloo because he thought it had the best water. So our first plants were on places like the St. Lawrence River in Prescott, in Belleville, down in Windsor on the Detroit River in Windsor, or just outside of Windsor. So we're a fairly simple business. We mm-hmm. buy grain from farmers, mostly corn. In the old days, it was largely wheat. Corn, rye, a little bit of barley and wheat. And we convert it into, we mash it up, we ferment it, and we convert it into alcohol, and then we distill it to make spirits. Our signature product in Canada is Canadian whiskey, one of the four widely recognized whiskeys in the world, along with Scotch, Irish, and bourbon. And we've been tremendously successful in not only selling our whiskey and making and selling our whiskey in Canada, but literally all over the world. So you can find Canadian whiskey in something like 200-plus countries around the world. There's been a lot of talk in Canada in the last couple of years about doing more with our natural resources in this country before we ship them out of the country. Well, the spirits industry is kind of the poster child for that, because we take relatively modest grains, very good quality grains, but relatively modest grains, convert them into alcohol, add a tremendous amount of value by branding them with brands like Weiser's and Canadian Club and Crown Royal, and selling them here in Canada, but more importantly, or as equally important, selling a tremendous amount of product all over the world.
Hmm. And in your capacity of promoting the industry, you also have to deal with all kinds of legislative and policy changes that go on with the industry. What's on a typical day for you? You're doing some promotions like this, and then you're probably heading off down to a meeting with someone discussing the pros and cons of who knows what.
Beverage alcohol is one of those commodities or categories where every individual is an expert, and every individual has an opinion, whether you're a beer drinker, a wine drinker, whiskey drinker, whatever it is. And that reflects itself in the extent of legislation, rules, and regulations. North America was essentially founded by Protestants and the Puritans, and a lot of that ethic holds over into the way we look and regard alcohol. So just yesterday, I was in Walkerton and had a meeting with the mayor of Walkerton to talk a little bit about the business, as well as a meeting with the mayor and the CAO of Hanover, and again, talking about the business in an area where we source a lot of grain for our distillery in Collingwood.
So you must be all over the place. Well, what kind of skills did you have to have this job? What was your previous occupations?
I've had kind of a mixed career. I started out in the advertising business, and honest to God, we've all seen those scenes of the guy pushing the mail cart in movies. Well, I literally, when I started in the advertising business, when I got out of school, and I thought I was going to be some hoity-toity in the advertising business, I spent the first 6 months in the agency pushing the mail cart around, which was a good education because you got to meet everybody, you got to learn how the system worked. And in those days, the internal mail distribution actually drove the business. I also worked for a mining company for a number of years. I worked in the land development business, usually on the public affairs or marketing side of the business. And then at a point in my life, I was very fortunate to spend a little bit of time working inside government. I worked in the Ontario government briefly for the Frank Miller, who in the 1970s was the minister. He was actually, we called him the treasurer in those days, because in those days the government actually had money in the till. Today they're called finance ministers. And at a point, I got offered a job as the president of the Canadian Wine Institute, representing the wine industry across Canada and including Ontario. And I did that for 7 years. And then I got recruited by the brewers and went to work for the beer industry for 11 years. So I've had a kind of a checkered background, a lot of it connected to agriculture, a lot of it connected to the rural parts of Canada. And I moonlighted for a little while as a prospector, which took me into some of the back parts of Ontario. So I think the best way to describe it is I've had a pretty checkered career, and I've been very lucky that nobody's actually found out that I really don't know very much.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd say you might have been in the music business because a little bit some way, because you had such a great and huge, nice collection of music you brought with us. Do you ever the DJ at the neighbor's wedding or something?
No, I love music. Yeah. It's a passion. It's one of the things I enjoy. I listen to it. There's always music in the background playing. I have, you know, unusual or eclectic taste, but I think a lot of people do. And
true.
It's just, you know, you're often, you'll hear a song and it absolutely reflects the mood that you're in at that particular time. And so I just tried to pick some things that evoke different kinds of feelings and moods and, that I have been experienced over time.
Well, let's play another one. There's Jim Cuddy is up next on here, and this is Pull Me Through. Have I got that right? Yeah, Jim Cuddy?
Yep.
Okay. Mr. Cuddy, what can you tell us about him and this song and why he showed up on your list?
Well, I think famous in his own right, but also famous as the lead singer for Blue Rodeo, mm-hmm. had some tremendous hits, done a huge amount to contribute to the Canadian music scene. I've heard him perform two or three times live. I think he's just a great performer. We don't hear enough about our own Canadian entertainers. This song is just one that pulled me through, that just touched me in some way. It's a little bit sad, but it's also a bit upbeat and optimistic. And honest to God, I was driving in the car one day and this song came on. I was listening and I think, you know, that's my wife. He's talking about my wife and the support that she gives me and all that kind of stuff. So good song.
All right. And here's to, your lovely wife and all those people in behind the scenes that support us as we go about our day to day work. So let's listen to this song and we'll be back talking some more with Jen.
There's paper scattered on the lawn and birds up on the line. There's letters left unopened here, then never is the time. There's messages I should return and people I should call. But I'm still tripping over echoes left lying in the hall. There's a light comes through the darkness, slowly to my eyes. You can fall back here forever, I just never realized. Oh, time won't let me go. And every night I know that you could pull me through. You could always pull me through. Even when I'm lying here, drowning in my blues, you take the sting out of the rain and bring the sun back up again. And you can always pull me through. Always stood outside together and we laughed like ancient friends. Then we lay down in a field just where the road begins and ends. Well, I see you in the mirror and I watch you from afar. My friends all think I'm crazy, but I know the way things are. Outside I hear voices underneath the moon, but I'm grateful for whatever breaks the silence of this room. Oh, time won't let me go. And every night I know that you could pull me through. You could always pull me through. Even when I'm lying here, drowning in my blues, you take the sting out of the rain, bring the sun back up again. And darling, you can always pull me through. I hope you're traveling well now and there's stars over your head. And I hope the river carries you everywhere you sit. Well, I miss the way you look at me, the way you wear your hair. And I miss the conversations we left hanging in the air. Oh, late at night I wake up, wonder what's been done. But I know our life together will go on and on. You could pull me through. You could always pull me through. Wrap your arms around me and chase away my blues. Take the sting out of the rain and bring the sun back up again. And you can always pull me through. And you can always pull me through.
I'm Jan Westcott from Spirits Canada. You're listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
Well, I'm going to have to turn in my stick here. You're doing that's an excellent job there. Why be a DJ for a while?
It's good you put the word breathe in there, because I wouldn't have.
I'm somewhat mixed on that. Like some, I do that because, as you know, some people it's better, but for others, it sometimes breaks the cadence of it too. But that was perfect. That's lovely.
Thank you.
So we're moving along real well here, folks, and now I'd like to talk to Jan a little bit about when agriculture crosses its work day, and I know he mentioned a little bit about it already, but that's our little link to agriculture on this show, and through what Jan does for a living. He had mentioned that the raw materials for Spirit Canada, what, four or five organizations? How many different companies are vendors?
I have eight member companies. They're all global businesses. Yeah. In Canada, you know, we're very fortunate. We produce amongst the highest quality whiskey in the world, Canadian whiskey. Brands like Weiser's, Gibson's, Canadian Club, Black Velvet, Crown Royal. We're very proud of the fact that here in Ontario we have five major facilities. In fact, the largest distillery in North America is the Hiram Walker distillery down in Windsor. We're very proud of the fact that for the distilling that takes place in Ontario, virtually 100% of the grain that we use is sourced right here in the province. So we interact a lot with the farm community, particularly grain farmers. Mm-hmm. We try and understand the issues that they're facing. We have a huge focus on quality. You cannot make great whiskey if you don't start out with a terrific grain. I work with organizations like the Ontario Federation of Agriculture, the Grain Farmers of Ontario, some of the subsidiary groups that focus on different kinds of agriculture issues. Mm-hmm. We regard the farm community as our partners. We can't do what we do unless we have a good supply and a high-quality grains. And increasingly these days, when it comes to food and beverage products, consumers are really interested in the provenance. Where does it come from? Who produced it? What are the quality? You know, how can we make sure that we trust this? We're very fortunate in Canada that we have probably the world's best agriculture and food production system in terms of quality and safety and those kinds of things. Mm. Not always appreciated. And so a lot of work goes on behind the scenes to make sure that happens and that it's taken for granted. Agriculture crosses my plate on a daily basis. I was saying yesterday I was on a farm, one of the grain farmers up in Alma. Last week I was on a chicken farm. He also grows corn in eastern Ontario, just in a little village called St. Isidore, about 45 minutes east of Ottawa. A week before that I was on a farm down in Brantford, just south of Brantford. So, and you gotta remember, I'm the politician in the business. So the politician in the business is he's out visiting farms. Imagine that the guys that actually buy the grain and use the grain, what kind of interactions they're having with, farmers.
And that grain purchasing is quite a lot. I think in the background material, something that you prepared here was, your distilleries that you represent are the fourth largest user of Ontario grains.
Yes, we of Ontario corn.
My goodness,
we're the fourth largest purchaser of Ontario corn. If you go back, 60, 70, 80 years ago, the principal ingredient of spirits made in Canada was wheat. Over the years, corn has supplanted all. Wheat is still used, but it depends on the recipe of the brand. But it's largely corn. So we're the fourth largest purchaser. We're nowhere near as big as the feed guys or the fuel ethanol guys. But we buy in the range of, 200,000 tons a year. And we also have the distinction of probably being the guys that buy the highest quality grains. So usually yellow number two Dent. But again, if when you meet distillers and master blenders, they only ever talk about two things, the quality of the grain and the quality of the water. And it's incredible how much they talk about the grain. So it's a very important aspect of our business. And as I said, our relationships with the farm community have been very broad and very strong.
I'm just sitting here listening. Was there like very good years for corn? As if it was a wine.
Yeah, well, that is true. Crops are different every year.
Yeah.
Moisture, some years there's different kinds of scourges, whether they're insects or pests or, different kinds of things that can happen to crops. I was down in southwestern Ontario, in Essex County, and they had some hail. plants were coming out of the ground, and they were kind of lucky that they were so small that they didn't do a lot of damage. But yeah, all those things affect the crop, and just like their vintages of grapes, every year is a little bit different, brings little different characteristics.
Well, that's it does make sense, you know. The best quality is going to make the best the most you can count on how the blend's going to come out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So wow, there you go, folks. Agriculture front and center, obviously, for the distillery industry, and just glad that Jan could tell us a little bit about what goes through the minds of those eight companies that are buying Ontario and, well, all across Canada. Some of those companies are across Canada too.
They're actually global companies. Yeah. We're fortunate in Canada that because we make Canadian whiskey, it's a unique product. We have something that isn't made anywhere else in the world.
Okay. Let's play another great tune. How's about this song called Crying by Don McLean?
Yep.
And so Crying, I should let you speak, but that's who did that first anyway?
It's an old song.
Yeah.
I've heard it done by quite a few different people. Don Henley, used to be with the Eagles, has done it.
Ray Orbison would be the one.
Ray Orbison has done it.
Right.
I just happen to like the way that Don McLean sings. He's got a bit of a twangy, it's got a real country feel to it, a little more than Orbison. I just think it's a great rendition of this particular song.
Okay.
A little sappy, a little sobby, but a great song.
A great song is a great song by any measure. Okay, let's play it. I'll be back. We'll talk some more, Jim.
I was all right for a while. I could smile for a while. But when I saw you last night, you held my hand so tight. When you stopped to say hello, and though you wished me, you couldn't tell that I'd been crying over you, crying over you. Then you said so long, left me standing crying, 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 crying. It's hard to understand that the touch of your hand can start me crying. I thought that I was over you, but it's true, so true. I love you even more than I did before, but darling, what can I do? Yeah.
Hi, this is Russell Hurst from Clean Farms. You're listening to The Agricultural Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agricultural Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
And welcome aboard today, folks. It's the Agriculture Show, episode number 124. It is the June 30th of 2015. Today's guest is Jan Westcott. And so far, we've had a great time playing some music. And we've talked about where he's born and raised and what he's doing, and a little bit about agriculture, but we got lots more to talk about agriculture. You gave us a little story about the song Crying. Roy Orbison's one that certainly came to mind. It's just amazing how some of the classic songs, if they're redone, can be a lot of fun. I was just listening the other day to that song called Sway, and that's been done by so many people. And Buble's version of that is just like Knockout with this kind of a swing or Latin beat in behind. But we're not just only music here, folks. We are talking about agriculture, and just glad that Jan could come in today because the industry he represents, which is the Distillers of Ontario, of Canada. Distillers Canada, I better get that right.
We have plants in four provinces.
Yeah.
But Ontario is the mainstay of the business.
And so they kind of got an idea how much and how the importance of quality to the business he represents. I'm just reading here quickly. The Ontario spirits are $1.5 billion contribution to Ontario's gross provincial product. I mean, goodness gracious, that's a lot.
Yeah, we're not the biggest industry in the province, but we're a pretty good size. We're largely an export business. 70% of what we make is exported outside of Canada, predominantly whiskey. Canadian whiskey continues to be one of the leading brands of whiskey sold in the United States. For about 80 years, we were the top-selling whiskey. More Americans drank Canadian whiskey than any other whiskey in the United States, certainly more than bourbon. Most people think that was because of Prohibition. It actually started during the Civil War when distilleries, U.S. distilleries, were closed.
Yes.
And never look back. You'll be sitting. I was in Texas talking to a bunch of people, and they were all drinking Crown Royal. And I said, "Wow, thank you very much for ordering a Canadian whiskey while I'm here." And they looked at me and said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, Crown Royal comes from Canada." They said, "No, it doesn't." They were all convinced it was some kind of American whiskey because they liked it and they thought it was pretty good.
Right.
But we're a good size industry. We're very much, interestingly, a rural industry. Our plants are in smaller communities. Our feedstock is grain, so we're deeply embedded in the rural parts of the province and in the farm community. And I'll tell you one more interesting thing. If you look at who drinks Canadian whiskey, Canadian rye whiskey, predominantly it's people that live in smaller communities right across Canada and in rural parts of the country, and certainly Ontario's absolutely there. Not so much in the big cities. They tend to be more vodka drinkers or wine drinkers or beer drinkers. So our core customer is actually very much the communities and the people that supply farm products to our business.
Hmm. So the deep roots to one of the foundation industries of Canada and most for our world is agriculture, and now turned into a business so successful with a brand that our friends in Texas don't know where this comes from. That's a great story. It's funny. Doesn't surprise me a bit that's
well. I think it's a great compliment when people in other countries, particularly in America, where they're, you know, kind of appropriate your stuff as their own largely because of the quality and they think so highly of it. So I think that's a great compliment for the people that make whiskey here in Canada.
Hmm. You've been in the business for what, 8 or 9 years now?
Almost 15 in the spirits business. Yeah, a long time.
You could probably just have a whole story about the changes you've seen over the years. The change of where alcohol is in the scheme of social, scheme of things from, you know, the derring do of past when it was illegal, but now it's certainly not the same social perception or responsibility you had like even 15 years ago. Like they have, you know, this whole drink. When I was younger, people would have a car crash and they'd say, ah, no problem. He was just drinking. No, they're not serious.
Well, the good news is that those attitudes have pretty much gone away.
I agree.
The industry's changed a lot. Society has changed. People don't drink the same way that they used to. And we've all heard that, that old saying. It's kind of trite, but it's a very true, people are drinking less, but they're drinking better. Mm. And that's absolutely true. Consumption is, declined a little bit. But people are sort of saying this, okay, if I'm going to have a drink, I'm going to drink the best, product I can, whether it's a beer, a glass of wine, or a cocktail, or just some sipping whiskey. The interest in the consumer in higher quality products has gone way up. The industry is, deeply committed to making sure people use our products responsibly. Success for us is persuading you to try one of our whiskeys and getting you maybe to go in and buy that every month or 2 months at the liquor store over the balance of your life, 30, 40 years. So, if you go out and use our products improperly and hurt yourself or hurt somebody else, we've just lost a customer. Now, we're not stupid business people, so we have a very direct interest in making sure people enjoy and use our products properly and hopefully enjoy them and do that for a long period of time. That's what success looks like to us.
That seems like a well thought out and reasonable procedure, and congratulations on that. And I think even in downtown Kitchener now, there was, I have some friends that there's a couple or maybe at least one or two like whiskey tasting bars now.
Yep. And they're growing. The consumer interest in whiskey generally and rye whiskey in particular over the last couple of years right across North America, now spreading around the world, is a surge in interest in brown spirits really being led by whiskey. Mm-hmm. And what really is happening is we've been on a vodka tear for 20 years. Mm. You know, started with Sex in the City and things like Cosmos and stuff like that and martinis.
Right.
And it's kind of run its course, and people that drink spirits are saying, okay, what else is there? What else has got some flavor? And whiskey has just jumped right up there. And I think our exports in the first, 9 or 10 months of last year were up 18%, just driven by that interest by consumers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking forward to the next section of our show. We talk a little bit about how that which is a modern society, which is Ontario, high tech, finance, legal, technology, and how it still has this, this is a farm-based, an important part of it is the farm production of, and it wouldn't work, if we didn't have both going. We didn't have a place where we had the people interested in quality whiskeys and the producers of quality whiskey and the skilled people to produce that sort of thing. And here we are in Ontario, and that's what we have, so.
Yeah, and these are, skills learned over many, many years. Depending who you talk to, the science has come into the business in a lot of ways, but it really is still an art.
Hmm.
And the best practitioners have been honing their skills over decades. These are skills and crafts that have been passed down over generations through the companies. Couple of our brands, just a little note, Canadian Club. And in the last 6 or 7 years, Canadian Club and Weiser's Canadian Whiskey both celebrated 150 years of continuous production and sales. So try and think of any other consumer product out there that's been on sale, hasn't really changed very much. In fact, we're very proud of the fact that they haven't really changed at all. To celebrate the 150th anniversary of Weiser's, they actually produced a limited quantity of J.P. Weiser's original Red Letter Rye. They got the old recipe out and made it hugely successful. Mm-hmm. And if you're quick about it, you can probably still find a bottle of that in your local liquor store. I know you're not supposed to do advertising, but it's such a good whiskey that if you like rye whiskey, go out and try that one.
Oh, no. Don't worry about the advertising. On our show here, this is about real people and real jobs. And we're just glad to hear about yourself. You're here, glad to hear about your business. And we want you to promote your business here. It's okay. And we talk about agriculture. Life is good. Let's play another song here. So we're into this. We got the first four done main ones, and now we want to do something here. How's about John Mellencamp's up next here, the Full Catastrophe of Life.
Great song. Get your foot tapping, you know, get you thinking. And it's actually true, because life is a bit of a catastrophe. Good, some not so good. Okay. And one of my favorites.
And we'll play it. We'll be back talking to Jan. And you can listen to us hopefully here on CKMS Radio on FM dial, or you can go online at soundfm.ca, or we're also on the Rogers box at number 946 on their system. We'll be right back.
Enjoyed every day of the full catastrophe of life. I've sat in courtrooms, had people call me names. I've been to London town on a supersonic plane.
I'm Ryan Garapi from ClearPath Robotics. You are listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
Thanks for listening in today, folks. It's the Agriculture Show here from our lovely studios at 108 King Street North, right on King Street, where we get to hear the roar of traffic and sirens and just the pulse of the city here in our second floor studio.
Life goes on.
That's right. And there's actually a Tim Hortons right across the street. And if we're really hungry and thirsty, there's a bar next door. So we're in good shape here. Today's guest, Jan Westcott. We're gonna probably do a little bit of housekeeping first. We should find out what website. So that let's put a little plug in for that. If you wanted to find out more about the distillers, it's Triple W Distiller or something.
It's Triple W My Drink, MyDrink, My Choice, .ca.
Huh.
My Drink, My Choice, CA. Because we're facing some issues where government is proposing to make choices for consumers, and we think those choices should be made by consumers, not for you. We think you're all smart enough to figure out for yourselves what you want and what will best suit you.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about that. What's the issue that's got your a big part of your attention for at least for the last year or something?
Yeah, about the last. Well, the government is looking at updating how alcohol is sold and distributed and dealt with across Ontario, and that's good. I mean, society doesn't stay the same. We need to make sure that we keep our rules and regulations and our systems in line with what consumers are looking for. One of the suggestions that the government has made is that they would allow the sale of beer and wine in grocery stores, large mainstream chain grocery stores, so Loblaws, Sobeys, Metro, those kinds of things. I guess Zaire's here in KW would be an example. But they have left out spirits. And our issue is that we all do the same kinds of things. We all buy agricultural products made, grown here in Ontario. We all transform those into different kinds of products, whether it's grapes into wine or grain into whiskey or grain into beer. We should all be treated the same. We all employ Ontarians, and we all create economic activity and wealth. The reason we're so adamant about this is that we had a similar experience in Quebec in the 1980s. And in the 1980s, for reasons that were largely internal to Quebec, the government of Quebec allowed the sale of beer and wine in mainstream grocery stores in Quebec. Before they made that decision, the spirits industry held about 40% market share of all the beverage alcohol sold in Quebec. 40%, 4-0. We were actually the largest selling stream of beverage alcohol in the province of Quebec, notwithstanding the way people think about Quebec these days. About 5.5 years after that, our market share had dropped to 13%. So effectively, the exclusion of spirits from grocery stores effectively killed our business. We closed all kinds of distilleries. We laid off hundreds and hundreds of people. Quebec sort of was taken out of the North American supply chain in our business. And, you know, over the ensuing 5 or 6 or 7 years, all of our companies moved their head offices out of Montreal to Toronto. So if Ontario does the same sort of thing, it will kill the spirits business in this product, in this province. 6,000 full-time good jobs, $1.5 billion worth of contribution to the provincial economy, 200,000 tons of grain that we buy from Ontario farmers every year, and $700 to $750 million worth of whiskey exports that we make around the world every year. We should be very careful, or the government should be very careful that you know, they don't do something that I don't think they're intending to, but inadvertently kill the business.
Yeah, that's always the thing. It's the blast effects on the other, all the way around the cause of the problems usually. So the solution is I think we're talking with just make, if it's good, what's good is good for the goose is good for the gander.
Well, in the spirits business, we can only sell our products in the LCBO. Unlike the brewers that have 420 beer stores, or the wine and Ontario wineries that have 300 private wine stores that they own, not the ones at the wineries. These are the ones that you would see in your local grocery store. They're already there. We can only sell in the LCBO. So our competitors already have a huge advantage. And I think the answer is very simple. If the government is going to make changes, they need to treat everybody as equals, treat them the same. So one of the MPPs at Queen's Park said something to me the other day, which I think is kind of interesting. He said, it sounds to me like the government has three cars to sell. You can buy a Ford, you can buy a Chev, or you can buy a Chrysler. If you buy the Ford or the Chev, you can drive them on any road in Ontario. But if you buy the Chrysler, you can only drive on half the roads in Ontario. Well, how many Chryslers do you think they're going to sell? And that's kind of what we're facing, is that kind of thing. We're hopeful that the government understands the consequences of what that would mean, particularly when we had the example of Quebec staring us in the face. But it's important that people understand the risks that they may be taking if they make the wrong decision.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like that's the number one issue by the sounds of it, but there's certainly probably no lack of stuff on your desk. things that you want to discuss. There's so many new environmental regulations come along. There's all kinds of stuff that the public is looking for nowadays. And I can imagine you have a very full docket of things you're doing.
I do. And you know, our industry parallels very much the kinds of things that agriculture is looking at as well. Environmental considerations are a huge factor. Energy efficiency. I've just spent a couple of days visiting farmers in different parts of the province. Energy costs, huge factor. The fact that you can't get gas, natural gas, in a lot of rural Ontario is a big factor. I visited a guy who just put in a new grain dryer in eastern Ontario, and he's using propane. And I said, well, how come you're using propane? How come you're not using natural gas? And he laughed, and he said, you know, if you could see 5 miles down the road, that's where the gas line ends. It's not here yet. And it's been there for 25 years. And so there are those kinds of issues. So different kinds of regulations. Government's well-intentioned, but they're not always perfect. And so, as I said, a lot of the kinds of things, food safety issues, labeling issues. You send stuff off the farm. You now have to be much more detailed about sort of what it is. You know, all of the things that go into it. We face the same kinds of issues.
Yeah, a lot of traceability stuff.
Tastability, you name it. One of the other issues that we have a lot of common ground with the farm community is when you export things out of Canada, it's very challenging, right? We're lucky in Canada because the rest of the world looks at Canada as this clean, pure, pristine place, and that helps us. But the world has a lot of interesting regulations that, whether you're exporting grain or beef or hogs. I was on a hog farm yesterday and talking to the fellow about the challenges of moving animals across the border and different kinds of crops. So we face a lot of the same kinds of issues.
And boy, I tell you, you're probably just getting in the start of it. I know we are in the agriculture business, the topic about carbon taxing and sustainability. And carbon taxes go two different ways to do it, three different ways, and sustainability is just a really tough to define term, so I'm sure you're busy working on it too.
I think one of the definitions of sustainability is farming,
yeah.
Right? That old joke about the guy that won the lottery,
yeah.
And got a lot of money, and said, what are you going to do with the money? And he said, I'm just going to keep farming until it runs out.
Yeah.
So I think, we should all call the Oxford Dictionary people and say, just put the word farming in beside the word sustainability. Because I think that's been second nature to everybody that's been involved in agriculture for hundreds and hundreds of years.
It's amazing. I was attending a local public event. It was at one of the progressive institutions in our area. And it was about pollinator health, and I just was as a speaker there. I was just congratulated all of our urban neighbors for coming out to talk about an agricultural issues, which actually put a different twist on it because pesticides for insects. There's been four iterations of that, and now all of a sudden the public's interested in what we're doing. It's quite a kind of a backhanded. A good thing that the people are interested in agriculture, even though there's a lot that's still going on with the
pesticides. Jeff, you asked me prior to doing the show the kinds of things that we think about agriculture, and one of the things that I've been increasingly overwhelmed with was the extent to which modern day agriculture in Canada and Ontario relies on science. We have to have science as the backstop. It has to be the only basis on which we make decisions. If we don't do that, then you're going to get all kinds of wonky decisions. So one would hope that government, as they're looking at different kinds of things, would be guided exclusively and only by the science. I'm not sure that's always happening. And some of the issues that are challenging agriculture right now, you sort of wonder whether science is actually the driver of these things or not.
It's one of the flip sides to the our modern society with just lovely with the internet. You have so much information available, but oh gosh, you got to be a selective listener. You've got to kind of be smart enough to kind of sift through it too. So, let's play another song. And how's about the Beach Boys?
Oh, perfect.
Good vibrations. We just had the catastrophe of life. Boy, if we don't cover all the topics here, I don't know what we can do any better here. Holy smokes.
So, it's, you know, the sun isn't shining right now at the window that I'm looking out of. And so this is a great song because even though the sun's not shining, it'll get you thinking about the sun shining.
Yeah.
And the Beach Boys, one of my favorite groups from when I was a kid.
I know. Yeehaw. Let's play them Beach Boys. Here we go. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. Softly smile, I know she must be kind. When I look in her eyes, she goes with me to a blossom room.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations.
Good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations, but not good. Good vibrations, but not good. Excitations, but not good. Good vibrations.
This is Suzette from the Waterloo Junior Farmers 100th Anniversary Committee. You are listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Waterloo Junior Farmers celebrate 100 years on Saturday, August 22nd at the Wellesley Community Center. Tickets will be available soon. Watch for more details on our website, http://waterloojf100.weebly.com. Or join our Facebook page, Waterloo Junior Farmers Alumni. This event will be a banquet and dance with a display of memorabilia. Start collecting your old photos, clothing, newspaper clippings, trophies, and other items for our display. Help is still needed on our committee. Consider volunteering. Call Susan for details at 519-662-4327 or email susan.mills@rogers.com.
Okay, and thanks for listening in today, folks. We've got a great show, as usual, and got a great guest, and good music there. That was the Beach Boys and Good Vibrations. My goodness, the Beach Boys, they just seem to keep on going. They've had their challenges with the band breaking up and together again, but I think I just read this year that they're doing shows again. Are you up on their schedule? What's the latest for the Beach Boys?
They are actually coming to Canada in October or November. I haven't seen the cities they're coming to. But apparently, I'm not sure if it's all of them, but enough of them are back together. So if you're a Beach Boys fan, there is hope.
Now, would you include yourself in that?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a big Beach Boys fan. Big. When I was a kid, I kept pestering my dad saying, you know, can't we move to California? It just sounded so wonderful, right? Especially in the winter.
Yeah. And it's still a lovely place, although it's getting a little dry because things have changed with the climate, or just maybe it looks like they're going to suffer for a bit more drought yet till they get their reservoirs recharged. And they make the appropriate adjustments in their consumption of water for the reality they're stuck in. But that's for another time in the show. But we want to continue with our show here. And Jan had mentioned a little bit about some of the issues of the day, especially with the proposed sale of beer and wine in grocery stores. But what was the follow-up to that you want to talk about, Sam?
Well, as the government has, so this started out originally, they were going to put 6 packs of craft beer, Ontario craft beer, in the grocery stores. And that was fine. The grocers, I think, pushed back and said, listen, gentlemen, if we're going to sell beer, we're going to sell all beer, not just craft beer. Happy to sell craft beer, but we want to sell everybody's beer. And so then it became everybody's beer. Of course, the Ontario wine industry put their hand up and said, you know, what about us? And so then the government started to say, okay, yeah, we should sell some Ontario wine in there. And then someone in the government realized that, hold it, Ontario is an exporting province. We enjoy the lifestyles we have because we produce so much that we sell around the world, and we have to abide by our trade obligations. And those, one of the fundamental ones is you don't treat your own stuff better than you treat things that come in from other places. So the rules have to be the same for a level playing field. So now we're looking at imported and domestic wine and imported and domestic beer. And so I bumped into one of the ministers in the government not too long ago, and I said, you know, sir, it sounds to me like what you're talking about is that if I'm a winery in Chile or I'm a brewery in the United States, I'm going to have better access to Ontario consumers for my products than a bottle of whiskey, Canadian whiskey, made in Windsor or Collingwood or Grimsby from grain grown in Ontario and you know, whiskey made by Ontarians. And I think that question kind of caught him off guard. And it would be passing ridiculous, almost beyond belief, that we would afford better treatment and better access to the Ontario market for products from other countries, probably very good products, than we would give to our own products made right here in Ontario. And by the way, which we sell in something like 200 countries around the world.
Well, it sounds like you're able to keep abreast of the issues and bring it up to the important people that matter to making the decision. And my hat's off to you for being such a good spokesperson on behalf of the.
I mention one thing else. I mean, most people out there say, "Okay, he gets paid to represent the spirits industry," and I do. Not enough, but I do. look at it from the point of view of a consumer. If they're doing this to create convenience, and that's what's happening, and expand the market opportunity for some fans. If I'm a consumer, I don't want to have to run around on Saturday to a whole bunch of different places. Mm-hmm. I'd like to be able to. So I think it's important for the people in the government that are looking at this and making decisions to put themselves in the place of a consumer. If I'm going to be allowed the opportunity to buy a bottle of wine or a bottle of a case of beer when I go to buy my groceries, which I think everybody would agree is a great thing, I don't want to have to then, if I need a bottle of whiskey, I don't want to have to go make a second stop someplace else. And I think, again, government is okay, but they don't always think of all those things. And I think somebody has to be talking about the consumer's interest in this and making sure that the consumer is also looked after.
Well, that sounds like that's how it's done in Ontario, and the democracy is everyone that's involved needs to speak up and say what's on their mind and how it's going to work for them. And then hopefully, no one is particularly disadvantaged, and a workable solution is formed. And then that's our dream and wish here in Ontario, I think. So hopefully things will work out with those factors in mind you talked about, because that's important stuff for your industry and for Ontario, I think. So you know what? I've been just waiting to play this song, Jan, you brought. It's been itching at the switch here. This is Chris Isaak, and this one is called The Wicked Game. But Chris Isaak, there was another one that was really popular at the time, and I have forgotten, or even he's probably got albums and all kinds of stuff on it. Tell us a little bit what you know about Chris Isaak and how he ended up on your playlist today.
I don't know very much about him. He's written a couple of songs that have been the theme songs for some pretty interesting movies.
Mm-hmm.
I think Wicked Game was on, I'm trying to think of the name of the movie.
Yeah.
It had, famous actor played the lead in it. It was a pretty good movie. So I discovered Chris Isaak when I listened to this song the first time, and he has a very unique voice. He can do some things with his voice that are pretty interesting. And I think, as I said, having heard this song, Wicked Game, a couple of times, I then, you know, was moved to sort of, who is this guy?
Mm-hmm.
Where does he come from? What
right.
else does he sing?
Right,
and
right,
became
right.
a Chris Isaak fan. But it's one of those situations where a particular song sort of steered me to the fellow that was singing it. And lots of range, you know, fallen a bit out of sight in the last few years, but an excellent singer, and I think he would classify himself as a country singer.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you know, it's funny. Artists do come from a wide variety of backgrounds, and I think there's a good majority of famous top 40 type popular artists. A good percentage of them actually started as blues dance. That's where you learn your chops, how to phrase music and all that kind of stuff, and then they get their lucky break when they need it too at times and go on to some maybe just pop tunes. But, so this Chris Isaak is probably typical of many great musicians, comes from an interesting background, but created something that, is his, one of his legacy. Let's play it. We're back to talk some more to Jan. Just stay tuned. It's the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM.
No, I don't wanna fall in love. I never dreamed that I'd love somebody like you. And I never dreamed that I'd lose somebody like you. No, I don't wanna fall in love.
Hi, this is Sarah Brown from Climate Action WR. You're listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region.
Okay, and thanks for listening in today, folks. We're into our last bit of our show today, and we don't know where the time's gone by. Just, like, stupendous music here, and there's got a couple more waiting, so we'll, before we sign off today, we'll play out one, and, we'll have a little last kick at some of these tunes. So today is with Jan Westcott, and, we learned a bit about Jan. He's a local guy, born and raised in Gads Hill, and lives in Oakville, and full career of advertising and politics a little bit, and other various councils, now presently with the Spirits Canada. 15 years, my goodness.
15 years. Gone by in a blink.
It does go by quicker and quicker. Man, there's stories about that. And then we talked a little bit about some of the challenges in the industry, what they're working on, particularly making sure it's fair when the government proposes to change where the marketing of ales and beers and wines and spirits can happen. We've had a little part of our show, of course, is agriculture and distillers, Canadian distillers. Geez, I can't even say yet. What am I saying here? The Distillers Association.
Yep.
Is
Spirits Canada.
Spirits Canada. I should write that down. Why don't I write that down? Spirits Canada is really it's critical that they have good quality grains for their products, and so that's where our agricultural connection comes from, the purchase of that and how that supports Canadian agriculture, Ontario agriculture. Now, you very kindly, Jan, have put in some last thoughts here, and I'm just kind of, Jan, I got to say, you are the most complete guest that was providing your host with materials and songs and stuff to work off of, and I just want to thank you again for what you've done here, but you have some last thoughts on agriculture, and I don't know if you have your stuff.
I just wrote down what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. So a couple of last thoughts, not always appreciated, but you know, I do a lot of work with the agriculture community, and one of the things I'm struck by is that our farmers in Ontario are probably amongst the most savvy business people in the world. They pay very close attention to sort of what their fellow Canadians want in terms of food and drink, and they work pretty diligently to meet those needs. You'll never meet people that are more passionate about the quality and the safety of the food supply chain. And I find it incredible how they're using technology to improve production, keep prices low, and to make sure that we have safe and healthy crops and animals. I think many, many people would be surprised to learn the extent to which technology is playing an important role in farms today. I visited a farm a couple of weeks ago. The fellow had 35 large pieces of equipment. Every single, whether it was a combine, a spreader, cedar. Every single piece of equipment had a laptop bolted to it, and that helped make sure that it was getting the right application at the right time in the right place. And, you know, the farmer wasn't doing that because he was some kind of altruist. The farmer was doing that because it made good business sense. It was making sure that he was running his operation as efficiently as possible. People don't spread fertilizer on parts of the field that don't need it. And if you don't have to water all of the field in exactly the same way, you're conserving water. So I think we don't understand enough about how that is coming into play. These are very sophisticated businesses, yet they're very small businesses. They're all pretty much family operations. It's a guy and his son or two brothers or somebody and his uncle combining to build these businesses. Incredibly investment heavy. Equipment, buildings, and it's a gamble every year. Like, Mother Nature doesn't tell you exactly what's going to happen. So I've been pretty impressed. I think people in Canada recognize, you know, if you talk to people about automobile manufacturing, everybody says, oh, yeah, big industry in Canada. I don't think we appreciate the role that agriculture plays in sustaining the kind of lifestyles we all enjoy, particularly in terms of the material that gets exported around the world. Particularly people in cities don't have lost that touch with what goes on. I think that's an issue because it leads people to have misconceptions about what happens on farms, who runs them, what they are, what they produce. So I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done to make sure that everybody understands the role, the important role that agriculture plays and how the farm community is stepping up to the plate to deliver what people want. I've been impressed in all the farms I go to. I ask a lot of questions. I, you know, keep my eyes open. I've been pretty impressed with the kinds of things I've seen. Far more progressive than lots of other small businesses you'll see, across the country and across the province. So, the good news is that, the young people that I meet going into the business are enthusiastic. They're smart. They've been extremely well educated. I'm an old guy, so, you know, they're a lot more technologically savvy. They got more stuff going on their laptops and on their, iPads than I ever will. And they're bringing those to bear on the business and improving the business. So, I just hope they keep doing it, and, we look for ways to support them in as many different, situations as we can.
Those are great words for our urban listeners to hear, as a representative of an industry in Ontario that's, hires lots of people, an important part of our identity, and to be able to speak so well of agriculture is probably something that most people would not have the opportunity to hear, because they just don't have, there's lots of people in Toronto have never met a farmer, because that's just the way it is, with millions living there and the rural population less and less all the time.
Well, it's interesting. If you go back 100 years or so, 95% of the population of Canada in Ontario was focused on producing food to support the population. So the population of Ontario and Canada has grown dramatically, and yet the number of farmers and the size of the farm community has actually shrunk. So we're producing a huge increase in the amount of food to supply an ever larger population in Canada and around the world, and yet the industry has shrunk. So clearly the efficiencies and the productivity gains have been phenomenal. And that's quite an achievement, and I suspect we're going to see even more and more and more of that as time goes on.
No doubt, and there's lots of young people interested in agriculture. I had 4-H people on here, and the local calf club is 6 members or something like that, and only 2 of them from the farm. The other 4 are perhaps urban, maybe in city residents, and they consider this a great opportunity to actually just see how they feel about agriculture. Got an interest, no immediate connection, but they want to know. And it speaks well to the future that there are still continue to be up-and-coming young people from non-farm areas interested in agriculture. This is a good thing.
Yep.
It is a good thing.
Probably
goes well ways.
Absolutely. And couldn't agree more.
And another good thing is, we're going to play one more song before we sign out. You got another 10 minutes by a chance? Or how do you?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Good.
Okay. Let's play another song, then we'll try to do one more before we end our show. I'll leave it up to you, but we have, in no particular order, there's a Bryan Adams tune, a Springsteen, the Bonnie Raitt, and Matt Dusk. Which one would you like to hear?
I'm easy. They're all great. Brian Adams and Matt Dusk, Canadians. Bonnie Raitt, great female country singer. I'm sort of torn. If it was up to me, I'd play all of them. But yeah. Two Shots of Happy is a pretty good song.
All right, let's play that. Matt Dusk, we'll be right back with our little last of our show. Just stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Shots are happy, one shot is sad. You think I'm no good, I know I've been bad. Took you to a place, now you can't get back. Two shots are happy, one shot is sad. Walk together down dead end street. We were mixing the bitter with the sweet. And don't try to figure out what we might have had. Just two shots of happy, one shot of sad. I'm just a singer, some say a sinner, rolling the dice, not always a winner. You say I've been lucky, well, I've made my own. Not part of the crowd, but not feeling alone. Under pressure, but not bent out of shape. Surrounded, we always found an escape. You drove me to drink, hey, that ain't so bad. Two shots are happy, one shot is sad. Guess I've been greedy all of my life. Greedy with my children, my lovers, my wife. Greedy for the good things as well as the bad. Two shots are happy, one shot of sad. Swinging, stop swinging. You say I hurt you. You put the finger on yourself. And after you did, you came crying for my help. I'm just a singer, some say a sinner, rolling the dice, not always a winner. You say I've been lucky, well, I've made my own. Not part of the crowd, but not feeling alone. Rolling the dice, not always a winner. Greedy for the good things as well as the bad. Two shots are happy,
one shot of sad.
Hi there. This is Dave Piper, and I'm from the Waterloo Region 2012 International Plowing Match. You are listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio, 100.3 Sound FM. The Agricultural Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the primary producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work, and compassion that is so emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of the society.
And we're back, folks, and thanks for listening in. We're in our last segment of our show today, and we have a few more songs to go, but we don't want to start repeating ourselves with stories, so we'll call it a bit of a wrap here, especially your host. He gets going talking the same old thing again. Just want to ask Jan, what happens for the rest of the day and the rest of the week for you? What do you got to do?
I'm taking my wife out for dinner tonight because I've been on the road for the last, almost the last 2 weeks. So I'm going out for dinner.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's Canada Day. I think we're going to go and, celebrate, Canada Day. I bought a flag in Hanover, when I was in Hanover the other day, and do some things and, back to work on Thursday and Friday meetings, no more travel this week, and then I'm on the road again next week. So a little bit lighter week this week,
yep.
But got to go home and cut the grass. Hopefully it stops raining. I got to cut the grass. It's getting kind of long.
Yeah.
Looks like a wheat field at the moment.
Well, it's been such an odd year. You know, we had 5 weeks of no rain, appreciable rain here in the Waterloo region, and a killing frost, and I'll have a few acres of soybeans that suffered to that. That was on May 23rd. And now it just rains and it rains and it rains. Now, usually rain is a good thing, but boy, it's time for just a bit of moderation, a little bit of half and half, I think.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I'm a runner and I run outside. I don't do the treadmill stuff. Mm-hmm. And the last couple of winters have been pretty tough.
Yeah.
And the last three or four runs I've run, I've got caught in the rain, so you get home kind of soaking wet. But it is what it is, right?
I know.
It could be snow. That's what everybody has to remember. It could be snow.
And, I just want to forget, you didn't mention on your well-prepared biography here, but through the process of the show, you're a dancer as well. So where do you like to go dancing at? What styles do you do?
I said we were at a 50th wedding anniversary on Saturday night, last Saturday night, and I had a chance to get up and do some dancing. We go to a couple of Italian places in Woodbridge. There's some community dances in Burlington that we go to, just have fun, right? It's a good out, a good night out, a little bit of exercise. Women love to dance, and so if you can get up and even if you're not that good and whirl them around the floor a little bit, they think the world of you. They forget how dumb we really are, us guys, and the stupid things we do. As long as they're dancing with you, you can't do anything wrong.
My goodness, you should be, you're going to have another career as a dance studio promoter. That was well said. we'll play one song on the way out. I got Bonnie Raitt tuned up here, and she's a great female vocalist. We should probably do that. We'll play that just so our listeners know what that song is before when we tune out of here. Motored through in a very fun way, an hour and three quarters of great radio here, Jan. We've talked about yourself and the industry and all kinds of fun things, great music. And I just want to thank you for coming out today. Thanks so much for being a guest on the show.
It's been a great afternoon. I've enjoyed it. I almost think of it as a captive audience.
Yeah.
So it's been a lot of fun and good to listen to some of the tunes.
Yeah. It's kind of nice to sit back and do that. So
yeah.
We'll get this show up on edited tonight or sometime soon and put it up online and we can enjoy that again and later. And if nothing else, we'll see our listeners in 1 week from now when we come back with episode number 125. And everyone have a great week. Look for some sunshine. And if you eat this week, thank a farmer. And we'll see you then. Bye for now.
Hey,
big boy.